Hallelujah. Go ahead and get in your Bibles tonight. We're going to read from the book of 2 Samuel out of the 12th chapter. Tonight we're going to begin reading from verse 7, and then we will stop at verse 12. It says, "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly." Say the word secretly. "But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." So glad you're here tonight. Excited about what God has put in our spirit. You know, of course, when you read this, just for the knowledge of it and the history of it, it's a totally different point of view. But then when God opens it up to you spiritually, it gives an entirely different meaning than when you would have read it the first time. We begin to read about a man by the name of David. Some of you may know this man by hearing the tales of him slaying the giant Goliath. Some of you may know him as being the shepherd boy that God anointed to be king. But this was a man that with this word that came from Nathan, he was reminded that without God, he would have had nothing. Without God, he would have had nothing. And what I found to be profound in this word is that he said that you have these things, but I could have done such and such and such for thee. Now, I want you to hold on to that such and such and such, because we're going to get back to that and talk a little bit about where the devil is infiltrating in our Christian lives. Nathan was sent by God to go after to David and speak a word to him, because David lusted after a woman that was not his, and he committed an act to where the man that was the husband of this wife was slain out of his own doing, his own plotting and planning, and he took her for himself. Out of this, they had born a child. And Nathan came with a very hard task to warn David that the Lord was going to move concerning his house, that the sword would not leave, and was speaking concerning the child. He was saying, "So that you brought death upon a man that did not deserve it, so shall I bring death upon your own child." What a word to hear from God. Aren't you glad we live by grace? Man, I'm telling you, if it was about him taking when I took, I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't have anything. But by his grace, he loves me enough to allow me to learn from when I fail. So I'm here tonight. I failed plenty of times, but he saved me, made me a new creature. I wanted to read that first word and bring out why Nathan spoke this to him, because we're going to read forward. Let's start at verse 13. There's something powerful in here. You better get ready. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick." Verse 16. "David therefore besought God for the child, and he fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day." So David has been in this predicament of praying and begging, laying around in the dirt, fasting, praying for 7 days. And on the seventh day that the child died, And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" Let's stop at verse 18. Something God spoke to me has been turning my world upside down. It has. I'm just going to be honest with you. It has taken my opinions, my feelings, everything that I feel justified in, and it's messed it all up. Are you ready to know why? When you read about what David received a word about, he received a word about something that he would end up trying to pray to change. He was spoken to that his child would pass, and he spent days down on his face crying out in hopes that God would change the predicament. How many of us have ever had a moment where God was showing us something that needed to change, but within ourselves, we prayed that it not? Moments where we wish we could have had just what we wanted, but everything seemed to be going against our desire. But yet we still tried to push on anyway. When we look at our lives today and the truth of God's word is spoken, when we refuse to change the things God ministers to, we are praying a prayer that is trying to change the mind of God. I remember when I was bound by drug addiction, and there was a season when I tried to compromise my life to know God and to enjoy the pleasures of my life, trying to pray that there be some kind of medium or some kind of middle ground that I could get with God so that I could be blessed and not have to let go of things that were difficult for me to let go of. You see, the enemy does not come at you on the things that you're strong in. He doesn't push your buttons on things that you're confident in. If you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "Man, I sure look good," the devil's not going to come and try to tell you that you're ugly. If you look in the mirror and you feel good about who you are, and you eat a little too much that day, the devil's not going to come and say, "Look at what you ate," because you don't care. If you're the kind of person that is not affected by the opinions of others, then when you hear somebody talking about you, the devil has no power over something that you already know that doesn't bother you. How many of you know where we're going with this? But when we hear something that pushes our buttons, it takes everything that we were called to be. Now, the Lord spoke to David what he was and what he had gave him. And how many of you know that when you come to God with anything, he reminds you of how much that he loves you. He reminds you that he's there for you. But then the thing that you're in need of, that you need God to work on, he then speaks to you the truth. Sometimes the truth will tell you to keep your mouth shut. I feel the anointing of God. Sometimes the truth will tell us to turn the other cheek when the enemy would come against us. Sometimes the truth will tell us that there are things in our life that are standing in the way of the prosperity of the anointing of God. Sometimes the truth comes and, like a quick band-aid being ripped off of us, exposes the very wounds that God needs to heal. And no matter what you try to do, there's no place that you can hide where you can hide the things that you need to change. Naaman couldn't do it. None of us are susceptible to be able to do it, because I know that once it is revealed, then there is a season of time where we grieve over what God has revealed. Lord, does everybody have to know that I was a drug addict? Can I not just get my life back together on my own? God, do I have to go down this road and lay off every friend I've ever known? Do I have to lay off the things I know that hinder me? The truth, when it's revealed, it hurts at first, and there'll be grieving at first, but when God wants something to prosper you, it's going to hurt at first. But once you have been pruned and once you have been cut away from the things that would bring destruction, then the prosperity of the anointing of God can begin to flow freely, and liberty begins to return once more to what was once bound. When the Lord showed me that I didn't have to be bound, I finally realized that I could try to do all that I'd known to do. But when I looked back at all that he had done for me, I knew that I couldn't have even been there to even hear the truth if God had not shown mercy. So we find David down on the ground 7 days. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know how long you've been down here grieving over something that you don't want to let go of. I don't know how long that you've been holding on to this thing that's caused you to lose the prosperity of the anointing of God. But when God wants to bring something to death, when he wants to remove something from you, you can grieve all that you want to, but there's coming a time when you've got to let go of the sins and weights that so easily besets you. Laid down there for days. His buddies tried to get him, and he wouldn't get up. This is one of the only times I read in the Bible of a man that grieved for his child. You read about Mary that grieved. You read about Hannah that grieved. But you have not found anywhere that I could read where you find a man crying out for his child. We cry out for the things that we identify with. What caused him to cry out for this child? Did he not already have children? Was there already not heirs to the line? There was something that he was grieving for that he identified with when he was a young man, and the prophet came to identify the king. His father did not show him to the prophet. And you read in the Bible about how David came to the realization that Jesse may not have been as proud of him as he was his other kin. He realized that maybe he was born as one that should not have been born, one that should not have belonged. But yet God chose the one that didn't belong. So when David saw that his child was not going to belong, it caused him to grieve in such a way that he would not have grieved for his other children. Church, we'll go above and beyond and help people that we can identify with. How many of you know that's true? I know that it's easier for me to pray for somebody that's bound on drugs than maybe somebody that's never been and never touched alcohol, never done anything like that, because unless you know the experience, it's not as great of an empathy inside of your heart. So there is a compassion that we have over others. And he had compassion on this child. He was hoping that he could have a moment like Joshua did, where the sun stood still. He was hoping that God would tell him, it's okay, you can keep this child. But church, I know beyond all doubt, there are things that God reveals to us that no matter how much we grieve, we are not supposed to have it. We're not supposed to do it. We are not supposed to be with that person. We're not supposed to be in that house. We're not supposed to be at this job. But yet we beg and beg and beg for things to change. But what God has destroyed is meant to stay destroyed. And no matter how much that we try to pray over something to bring it back unto us, what God has plucked up, it is gone. And there's no reason to be the person of 20 years ago. You can't be who you were 20 years ago. We can't grieve over who we were 20 years ago. But there's got to be something that causes us to finally realize, if God doesn't want us to have it, then surely it's time to let these things go. So after 7 days, news came that the child had passed. And I'm going to translate some of the more modern English. His friends basically said, you know how he was acting, just thinking that the child was going to die. If we tell him that the child's dead, he's going to go nuts. That's basically what they said. And as David heard the whispers, He perceived that something had happened. He didn't even need them to tell him. Now, I'm going to say something to you right now that you don't want to hear. But there's some things in your life right now that God has spoke to you about to change. And you don't need to hear the whispers of others to tell you. You don't need the word of the prophet to tell you. This preacher shouldn't even be up here to confirm it for you, but God's doing it for you tonight. There comes a moment when you realize that this thing that God wants to take from you is meant for you to let go. I'm talking about unresolved anger. I'm talking about an abundance of the lust of the flesh. I'm talking about implanted jealousy, discord and division. I'm talking about not ever being pleased with anybody. I'm talking about overworking yourself just to try to cover up the pain. I'm talking about getting to a place where you can let go of all of the things that God has revealed. Because you want to know why? You better get your baseball glove out right now, because here comes the truth. We are so weighted down by the things that God has already revealed that should be different, that when we try to come into His presence together, we simply cannot, because our vessels are not in a place where God can prosper the anointing. We can feel His presence, but there's no power to call out the demons. There's no power to call up the dead to be raised. There's no power for disease to be lifted. Honey, I'm here to tell you, if God never wanted us to know what healing felt like, there would have been no one that was ever sick. If God didn't want us to know what resurrection was, He wouldn't have had anybody to die. If He didn't want us to know what unity was, He would have never let us know what division is. But if God has showed you anything that is already dead to you, it's time to realize that it's already gone. There's no reason to go back to who you were, to being hindered, but to be in a place where you can be as free as God has called you to be as prosperous as God has called you to be. He has called you to be as a king so that you can have such and such and such. He wants you to have so much more than you're letting Him have. You might hold back on Him, and the Lord's told you you've held back too long. And glory to God, it's time to realize tonight that part of us that held back is already dead. Because if God already spoke that it was dead, honey, you're just carrying dead weight. If He already told you that you're free, you're carrying dead weight. The Lord wants you to know that grieving will be a season, but there's got to come a time where we move on from the past, where we move on from that person that never said anything, where we move on from being the shy person in the back, where we move on and be what God has called us to be. Man, I feel the power of God. Devil's already out of my way. You might as well get out of it too, because God is showing everybody in this world today just what needs to change. But what leaves us bound is not the preaching. What leaves us bound is not the singing, but it's in our hearts. I'm going to go southern on you. Are you ready? There ain't nothing that anybody could say that will change you to be less of you. The only person that has a hold on you is you. You might be waiting on the preacher to say that particular thing you're dealing with, but you don't need me to know, do you? You don't need me to know exactly what you're going through, because God sent Nathan. If He wanted to talk to David, He would have came down and talked to him, but He sent somebody that would speak the truth. And Lord God, I'm no Nathan, but I am who I am, and I'm here to tell you we're too bound in this place. I'm here to tell you that we're too bound in this place. For if we were free, you wouldn't have anybody sitting down. If we were free, you wouldn't have anybody that sat around as a mute. If we were free, then you couldn't get anybody to sit down and say, oh brother, that's out of order. Oh brother, you're too radical. If we were free, you couldn't hold back the blessings of God. David had slew a lion, he'd slew a bear, give him a sword, and he'd take down anything. But he finally faced a battle that no sword could. You can find all you want to change what you're praying for, but if God has revealed it to you that it's over, then there has to come a moment where you rise up and realize if he's already gone, then all I can do is move on. That's somebody's prophetic word tonight. If God has spoke to you that the enemy is going, then the enemy is gone. And you need to start believing and living your life like he doesn't have a hold on you anymore. God should not have to tell you every single service you're delivered from depression. If he told you one time, that should be more than enough to tell you. It didn't take me very long when he said you're free. I didn't go back and say, well, maybe I'm not. Well, maybe I'll relapse. Maybe I'll go back to who I was. When I realized that it was dead and gone behind me, there was nothing that could stand in my way, because I put the former things behind me and I go on and press to the high mark of the high calling of God. Verse 19, we're going to see what happens. But when David saw that his servants listen, this might be just some Friday night for others that they felt like skipping, but I feel the power of God. Glory to God. Other people didn't think it was good enough to get here, and that's all right. God sees the ones that can and cannot, but I'm here to tell you, for those that come out, he's going to pour out. Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is. Then he arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself. Come on, somebody. And changed, somebody say, his apparel. Changed his clothes and came into the house of the Lord. What a mystery. What a mystery. But brother, if he lost something, wouldn't he have lived bitterly and scorned and questioned God for why he couldn't have it? Maybe you're there. But the Lord has sent me here to tell. Listen, I fought battles all week long, but I'm willing enough to fight for it so that you can get a hold of it. And I want you to know that you might be holding on to something and questioning God and saying, why am I here? And why am I in this predicament? And why could I go back to the way things were? But if God saw any will for you to have prospered back then, he would have made a way for it. He would have made a way if it was his will for you to prosper in that situation. But his perfect will goes against our desires